Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. This is the Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday, the 9th of October, 2012. Hope you're off to a good day so far. We are on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, Tucson's intelligent voice. We're streaming the program live at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and you can hear our programs anytime, anywhere. Visit one of our websites where the program is posted to, namely buckmastershow.com. We post to the tucsoncitizen.com, tucsonsentinel.com, also takes the Buckmaster Show. And now, thanks to a new agreement, gvnews.com, the website for the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, they have a link to our program on their homepage. Try to make it as easy as possible for you to hear this program on your schedule. We are live noon to one each weekday. We'll get things rolling this Tuesday afternoon with a conversation about what I think is one of Tucson's most important industries, that is tourism. 20 minutes past the hour, certified financial planner Shelley Fishman will be along with the Tuesday Money Maker Report. Shelley will have his economic forecast, and judging by the look on his face, the market is down a little bit today. 30 minutes past the hour, our monthly visit with General John Wickham, former chief of staff of the U.S. Army. He is the Buckmaster Show contributor on military and foreign affairs. Boy, talk about lots to discuss with the general, including the deteriorating situations involving Syria and Iran and the looming defense budget cuts that really could have a drastic impact here in Arizona and on the Arizona economy. We welcome you to join the conversation at any time on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040, or you can submit your question using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. I'm happy to report today we hit 2,400 friends now on the Buckmaster Facebook page. Well, it's been 6 months since a new leader took over downtown at the offices of the Metropolitan Tucson Convention and Visitors Bureau. After a nationwide search, Brent Durad was named president and CEO, replacing Jonathan Walker, who retired after 18 years with the Bureau. Mr. Durad is responsible for the overall operation of the MTCVB and its $6.2 million budget. Brent, how are you today?
Excellent. Thank you. How are you?
Thanks for being with us. It is prime time for Tucson tourism. We've got Tucson Meet Yourself starting up this weekend. That always kind of heralds the beginning of the festival season. It is a great time of year in Tucson. How would you characterize your first 6 months on the job?
Well, it's certainly been a hectic time, that's for sure, just trying to learn the community and all the nuances that make Tucson so special. But again, I think what I've really found is I get out and meet the people who live here and who make up this community. It's really a very special place. So many people have lived here in Tucson for decades, and they take great pride in their community, as they should. What I've seen is that we've got a great deal to market and promote, especially on the geotourism side. The natural beauty of Tucson's fabulous, and we plan to continue to do that.
City of Tucson and Pima County, Brent, as you know, fund the MTCVB through bed taxes, funding tourism promotion organizations through local bed taxes, of course, is a common practice. It's been proven successful. Where you came from, Scottsdale, when you compare Scottsdale and Tucson, pretty much we're on an even playing field in 2007 when it came to a budget, with both receiving about $10 million a year. Boy, has that changed. Scottsdale's budget has gone up, while we're back to about $6.3 million.
Yes, and that's really a difficult thing to look at. You know, when you look at the Tucson Convention and Visitors Bureau, we're really the one destination marketing organization, if you will, for Tucson and Southern Arizona. And so you look at that budget compared to when you aggregate Scottsdale, Phoenix, Tempe, Mesa, and all their Convention and Visitors Bureau's budgets, that's roughly $30 million just to market the Metro Phoenix area. So, you know, quite a disparity. We're certainly going to make do with what we have, but we're working hard with the City of Tucson to see if maybe some additional City of Tucson bed tax could be invested in our organization moving ahead.
And the bed tax, the percentage that we receive, I guess it's about 95% of the budget coming from the bed tax. That has decreased in recent years. Myself, from a personal point of view, I think tourism is about the best investment you can make. It's a great, clean industry, and I really don't understand why we have cut back in that area when we should be going full bore and promoting Southern Arizona. How does it look for perhaps making up some of that difference?
Well, I think we're moving in the right direction. Again, with Pima County, they provide about half our budget, and 50% of their bed tax comes to us on an annual basis. With the city of Tucson, that's about $2.5 million of our budget, but only about 28% of the bed tax revenue that Tucson collects comes to the CVB. We're working hard with the city staff and also with the mayor and city council to see if we can look at additional investment in our marketing, sales, and promotional programs.
I mean, we've got 20,000 people work in this industry?
Yes, that's correct. 20,000, about one in every eight jobs in Pima County would be tourism-related.
And it's a $2 billion industry, tourism-related spending that is pouring into Southern Arizona. We need more of that money coming in. And I see now, after several years, the state of Arizona is going to put some money into national advertising. They announced today the launch of a $7 million appropriation from the state's general fund. This is for an ad that will be titled Escape to Arizona, marketing the state in Chicago, Minneapolis, and Denver markets. Do you like that ad campaign that they've got underway?
I do. And with the Arizona Office of Tourism, they've been a great partner to us through the years. As you alluded to, though, with the recession, their budget took an enormous hit. They went from, roughly $20 million down to about $7 million. Seeing that that they're starting to turn that back around with a general fund allocation, I think makes a great deal of sense. If you want to bring people into a destination, you have to be top of mind. You have to be able to market and promote yourselves. There's so much competition going on out there that if you don't compete, you're going to get left behind. So it's great to see the state moving in that direction. The other thing that we've been able to do through the years is leverage those Arizona Office of Tourism dollars. Sometimes they will actually underwrite a big part of a cooperative advertising campaign where Tucson can come in, Phoenix, Scottsdale, and others. That joint promotion really helps as well.
And that this new ad, Escape to Arizona, will picture the icons of Arizona: saguaro cactus, the Grand Canyon, Sedona's Red Rocks. And this will be on buildings and billboards in major cities back east, and this begins in November. Plus, there'll be some ads appearing in nationwide publications like Travel and Leisure, Condé Nast, Traveler, other print and outdoor and online media. So what is your plan now for the winter season as far as Tucson and advertising?
Probably the biggest thing you'll see from us is a transit campaign that we actually launched last year in Chicago and Denver, and we plan to replicate that to a large extent. But you'll also see us out, with especially online and other digital related advertising in some of our top winter feeder markets, and that would include places again such as New York, Minneapolis. Seattle's a great feeder market for us as well. So while Chicago and Denver on the transit campaign, where we actually have advertisements in terms of the size of buses, trains, that type of thing, that'll be a big component. But again, getting out there with some more diverse media in our other top feeder markets will, help round out that program for us for winter.
The state tourism budget really took a big hit. It began in 2008, the decrease. At one point, we were up to almost $27 million, the Arizona Office of Tourism. That's now down, it was down to about $12.5 million or a little less than that. Now it's come up to $20 million. You really have to spend money to get visitors to come to a destination. Isn't that the bottom line, Brent Durad?
Oh, it is. There's no doubt about it. At 6.5 million or so, where we're at right now, certainly pales in comparison to Las Vegas's $230 million budget. But and we'll never certainly approach that. But as we look at some of the other destinations, especially in the western United States, against which we compete for leisure travelers, for meetings, which are really lucrative for hotels and resorts, we are certainly underfunded when you look at the number of residents, in this particular area. But then, if you want to make an impact, you've got to get out there, market, promote. You've got to fight for that business. Really important that customers understand the natural beauty that we have here in Tucson, along with just some outstanding attractions, destination spas, golf courses. We've got a lot to sell. We just need some additional dollars to get out there and tell that story.
Brent Durratt is with us from the Convention and Visitors Bureau here in Tucson. He heads up the bureau. You mentioned at the beginning of the interview ecotourism, and we had Dr. Joaquin Ruiz here on the program a week or so ago talking about, he's the dean of the College of Science, as you know, Brent, and he's been spearheading the biosphere and these other attractions like the Mount Lemmon Sky Center, the Arizona Sonora Desert Museum. It's kind of selling it as a package. Do you like that idea?
I think it's a great idea. It certainly plays to, without question, one of our top strengths. One of the things that we're going to be doing this year is undergoing a complete destination rebranding campaign. And so that's kind of a fancy term for essentially identifying what your top tourism attributes are and then figuring out how to best take those out to the marketplace. What we're going to be doing is within the next couple of months, starting this process, we're going to be out conducting focus groups with people from throughout the community, a lot of our different stakeholders, because we need that input. At the end of the day, what we're really looking to do is ensure that we have, moving forward, those top attributes identified. And there's no question in my mind that geotourism, which Dr. Ruiz, again, has helped to define for all of us, will certainly be right there at the top of the list in terms of what we promote out there to the marketplace.
Brent Durratt has been talking with us here on the Buckmaster Show, talking about the tourism, and as we hit now the really prime tourism season, we've got Tucson Meet Yourself coming up and a lot of other activities. Brent, thanks a lot. Have a great afternoon.
Bill, thanks so much.
Brent Durratt with us on the Buckmaster Show. Coming up next, we'll talk money, the Tuesday Moneymaker Report. Shelley Fishman, certified financial planner and all-around nice guy, joins me next.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Everyone is switching to high-efficiency appliances because they have money, and a Culligan high-efficiency water softener does the same. But did you know that you can rent rather than buy? Think about it. No equipment to pay for upfront, money-saving purchase options if you change your mind, and service calls are included in the rental rate. In fact, you'll never have to pay for another water softener, ever. So now you can get all the benefits of soft water for less when you rent from Culligan. Imagine a spot-free home, softer skin, and brighter laundry for dollars a day. Even better, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy, plus helps all your appliances last longer. Let your Culligan man take care of your water when you rent the world's most efficient water softener. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Now in its seventh year, the RTA has finished over 400 projects, including five major roadways. Current projects include the Modern Streetcar in downtown Tucson and Grant Road at Oracle. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. With ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service, providing jobs and making travel around our region faster and safer, the RTA is delivering our promise to you.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing, people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union, improve your financial life.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media, or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
My name is Mark Layton, and I'm the IT guy over at O'Neill Printing. In order to serve my Tucson clients, I've got to be able to quickly receive files up to 10 gigs in size. That's why we made the switch to Cox Business. We used to have an internet connection that could barely handle more than 2 file uploads at a time. With Cox Business, our connection is 10 times faster, and our bill is 40% less. Now that's what I call a no-brainer.
Get to know the business side of Cox at CoxBusinessAZ.com.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial services professional located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And here he is, the man himself, Shelley Fishman, certified financial planner. He is the host of our Tuesday Money Maker Report on the Buckmaster Show. Shell, how are you today?
Miserable, Bill. The market is south and going souther.
Yeah, well, you know, I do a lot of reading, as you know, Shelley, and over the weekend, catching up on all the papers and the financial journals, and everybody was talking about the fact that we were on the verge of really pushing some new highs.
Yes, we got on the intraday high. I think we actually did push a new high and backed off from it. We're now in a couple of days of withdrawing from those highs. As you know, I didn't think they were sustainable. Still don't think they're sustainable. I think we're up about 11% on the Dow today, maybe a little bit.
Some erosion there would bring – it'd take quite a bit of erosion to bring the market down to your prediction of about
6%. 6%. So I'm about 13,200. We're at about 13,005 right now. It's not a big leap down to get there. The problem, Bill, is that first two quarters of corporate profits were fine. Third quarter slowed down, but in addition to that, the advice being given by on the conference calls that all the big corporations do was for a weak fourth quarter. Mostly because the demand side of the thing is just very, very weak right now. And as a result, you can have events in Europe or events in China or even political events here affecting the market on a daily basis, or even you get a couple of days in a row of a glow that follows a great announcement by, say, the Fed or something like that. But at the end of the day, it comes down to the fundamentals.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the stock market is based upon the returns of corporations. It just is. And you can swing off those lines for a day or two or even longer, but at the end of the day, it comes down to fundamentals. And when major corporations in some of the important sectors are saying that they're going to have a weak quarter. Eventually, that finds its way into the price.
Yeah, let's face it. It is the fundamentals. It is the foundation mm-hmm. of the American economy, the corporate earnings.
Oh,
and
yeah.
if people, to make the corporate earnings happen, consumers have to do their part, and they have to step up to the plate, and they have to spend money.
Well, they do. And of course, over the past couple of years, that consumer spending has cut back significantly for a number of reasons. Number one, we have high unemployment right now. Number two, after the scare in 2008 and 2009, families have been deleveraging. They've been taking money that they have, certainly from some of the tax breaks they've been getting, but also just the way they allocate their own budgets, and paying off debt. Remember, during the 80s and 90s, the allocation of funds away from the middle class has been fairly drastic. And the middle class has responded by borrowing, by using their homes as credit cards, by working more. But that all kind of collapsed starting in the mid years of the first decade of this century, and then finally collapsed in 2008. So we're seeing a cutback in consumer spending. We're seeing some slowdown from the very high growth in places like China and Brazil and India. And, of course, Europe is in trouble, and Europe is our largest trading partner. So all of that together has contributed to a rather gloomy forecast for the fourth quarter. But most analysts that I read and talk to and get on conference calls with are saying next year is going to be wonderful.
And, you know, the fourth quarter is kind of the consumer quarter when mm-hmm. you look at it, because it's the holiday season coming up. This is the big event coming up.
Right. And you get
gearing up for that.
Exactly. You get forecasts of what kind of holiday it is going to be. And what I'm seeing now is a little better than last year, but not necessarily exceptionally better than last year. But you don't feel the effects of that until the first quarter of the following year. And then we've got this little complication happening November 6th, an election or something.
Yeah.
And you know, that's
But
got,
we've talked about that before, right. That the market really has factored in whoever wins.
I think that's true, but that doesn't mean that the ups and downs aren't going to cause daily volatility.
For the planner, you as a planner and myself as a consumer, and for you dealing with your clients now with this uncertainty in the fourth quarter, does it really matter, or do you vary much from the game plan?
Oh, it does matter in terms of new money coming in and the timing of that money and where you put it and where you park it to begin with. And, you know, you try not to time the market, because that's a fool's errand.
Market timing, I think they call it.
Exactly. But on the other hand, if you have a strong feeling that you're going to have a weak couple of weeks or a weak month or two, then sometimes it's prudent to kind of sit things out, park money in cash for a while or buy stuff that's going to return some yield and interest and dividends while you're waiting for the market to bottom out, if you want to do that. Now, for clients who've got 30 years or 20 years, a couple of days or weeks isn't going to make a big difference. But for clients for whom immediate results are important, by immediate I mean, 2 to 3 years, then if you think the market's going to go lower, then of course, you place orders based upon a lower price or that kind of thing. There are ways of taking advantage of those hunches. On the other hand, if you're wrong, you lose.
Yeah. And you could lose big time. Shelley Fishman is with us, certified financial planner. And Shelley, I think it's always important to mention that that certified financial planner, CFP, is important.
It is. It's important for the client, because the client knows that the things that I do on the client's behalf have to have the client's best interest in the forefront of my thinking, not necessarily my commission or not necessarily just the standard of appropriateness, but the standard of what is best for the client. And that's really what the CFP guarantees to a client. Look, there's no guarantee that my recommendations are going to make money or lose less than other people's or whatever. But the guarantee that the clients have is that, from my perspective, it's always got to be what's best for the client.
Yeah, that certified financial planner designation is kind of a starting point when you are looking for a planner. Then, of course, the next step is actually meeting with the individual.
Oh, absolutely. and you should, you know,
the face-to-face meeting.
If you're looking for a new advisor, don't take my word for it. You know, sit down with three different advisors and then, you know, ask the right questions and then go with the one that you think is most suited to you, personality and your investment objectives.
And folks can reach you at
795-7950.
And I have found giving phone numbers sometimes is difficult on the radio, So I like to recommend people go to BuckmasterShow.com.
Absolutely.
There's a link right there to Shelley. That's an easy way to do it. Shell, have a great week.
You too, Bill.
Thanks.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial, Pyramid Federal Credit Union, or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Insurance products offered through LPL Financial or its licensed affiliates. Investment and insurance products are not NCUA insured, not credit union guaranteed, and may lose value.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The number of people sickened by a deadly meningitis outbreak has now reached 119, and that includes 11 deaths. Saying that Jerry Sandusky had betrayed children and abused their trust, a Pennsylvania judge today sentenced the 68-year-old former football coach to at least 30 years in prison. Federal investigators have charged 530 people with allegedly defrauding homeowners who had fallen behind on mortgage payments and feared foreclosure. Democrats and Republicans saying their own campaign polling shows a swing back toward Mitt Romney at this stage of the presidential campaign, with the election about a month away. On Wall Street, the Dow is down 100 points, the NASDAQ trading 46 points lower. More details at srnnews.com.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowland Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchases, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, and a reminder, our debate series, which has been very popular here on the Buckmaster Show, tomorrow it's Proposition 204. That's kind of the marquee item for the propositions on the ballot. That is about education and sales tax. That will be our debate tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show. And our operations director here at KVOI, Ray Allen, has done a great job in putting together and archiving all of our debates. You can go to kvoi.com. We've got them all for you there, all the Buckmaster Show debates. Lots to talk about now on the Buckmaster Show with our contributor on military and foreign affairs, General John Wickham, who was U.S. Army Chief of Staff from 1983 to 1987 and Commander-in-Chief of South Korean and U.S. Combined Forces from 1972 to 1982. General Wickham served a total of 41 years in the Army. He is now retired in Oro Valley, and he is a monthly contributor to the Buckmaster Show. Our monthly conversations on military and foreign affairs with General Wickham are made possible by Splendido, Oro Valley's all-inclusive community for adults 55 and better. Their annual Showcase of Homes event is coming up on Tuesday, October the 30th, starting at 9 a.m. RSVP and say you heard about it on the Buckmaster Show by calling 762-4090, 762-4090, or visit Splendido2.com. General Wickham, how are you today?
Doing fine, Bill. Thank you for the opportunity to share some thoughts.
Well, it's always good to talk with you, and I want to begin with something that I saw today on the web. This is from, and I know you look at this, Foreign Policy magazine. This was on their website today. Headline, A Truly Credible Military Threat to Iran. The bottom line to the piece is, and they're quoting sources close to discussions between the United States and Israel, that action that this particular source is saying would likely involve now against Iran a joint U.S.-Israeli surgical strike targeting Iranian enrichment facilities. Now, the best-case scenario, General Wickham, according to this source, would take, quote, only a couple of hours. The worst-case scenario, a day or two overall. Some of your thoughts on this.
Well, a lot of this is just pure speculation, Bill. There are plans. Israeli have separate plans. The U.S. has plans, contingency plans to do it. But to take out Iran's capabilities it will involve an enormous effort to break down the facility. Some of these things are buried in mountains under a lot of concrete. And to break through that is going to take some huge bunker busters, and it's going to involve refueling of aircraft. So it's the idea that it can be done in a short period of time, I think, is pure speculation. But there are plans, and I think this is an ongoing effort. Some of it is psychological against the Iranian leadership to make them realize that, you know, we can do these things unless you people bend. And but I don't see anything happening now. I think there is actually underway a considerable debate within Israel now between the leadership, Barak, who is the foreign minister, used to be prime minister, and looking to run in the elections to replace Netanyahu in the next few months with the elections, Barak does not believe that we should strike Iran right now. It's inopportune that the sanctions are working and that the blowback from any kind of an attack could be devastating in terms of Israel itself, not to say a war in the Middle East. And so there's this ongoing, the military in Israel also is got a mindset of resistance to taking any action right now. So Netanyahu, in a way, the prime minister, is a little bit out on his own limb. And so that is an encouraging sign that there's not going to be any immediate effort, particularly during the ongoing election situation in the United States.
Yeah, General Wickham, we've talked about this over the previous months with your conversation about Iran, and I really think that thinking that this could be done in a couple of hours or in a few days is just foolhardy. This would be, as you have pointed out, a huge effort and, in a way, opening Pandora's box.
Exactly. And people don't realize the enormity of effort that would have to be involved to break through. And there's no guarantee, Bill, and you understand this, there's no guarantee that we can be 100% successful. As a matter of fact, there's a considerable intellectual argument going forward now that any strike on Iran would do nothing more than compel the Iranian leadership to press ahead, that they would feel now we are encouraged to have to do this, that we've been forced to by the Western attack to do it. And they can get some help from North Korea, for example, to rebuild some facilities. So there is, I think there's pressure to say that an attack on Iran would actually create the problem we're trying to get rid of rather than let the sanctions work. So my mindset now is that it would be foolhardy to attack Iran right now. The sanctions are biting very hard. The rial, the currency in Iran, dropped terrifically in the past 2 weeks. And so the Iranians are hurting, no doubt about it. And eventually it's going to be some benefit, I think, from the sanctions that are going to force the Iranians to realize. There's something else that's very interesting in the media you've read about. The Iranians have, and there's proof of this now, the inspectors have proved it, that the Iranians have taken 30% of their enriched uranium and converted it into powder. The powder is necessary to be used in medical isotopes. And once it is converted to powder, it can never be weaponized again. So it illustrates that the Iranians are, in fact, using some of their enriched uranium for peaceful medical purposes.
Let's move on now, General Wickham, to the situation in Syria. This situation is growing worse. It's a deteriorating situation because Turkey is now very much involved.
That's exactly right. And what's been involved has gone on for the past months. There have been mortar fire, mostly landing in agricultural area, erratically in Turkey. But just recently, some of that mortar fire has killed perhaps a dozen or so Turks. And the Erdogan, the Turkish prime minister, is furious about it, and so is the Turkish parliament, which has authorized military action against Syria. Now, if the Turks were to attack Syria, the Turks have the predominant military capability. They could overwhelm Syria, but it produces a great problem in terms of Mideast war. And it also creates a problem for NATO, because Turkey is part of NATO. And what do the other nations of NATO do when a member of NATO is now involved in some kind of hostilities? So there are some serious implications about the war widening with Turkey. But I think that Turkey is pushing for a much greater effort by the United States to try to bring pressure to bear. Now, the UN ambassador, Brahimi, an Algerian, has not really produced any ceasefire plan. He has good contacts. He's met with Assad. He's met with other leaders in the area, but he has not produced any plan yet, and we have to wait and see whether anything's going to come of it.
Well, as you know, it's a hot-button political issue, and I really don't want to get into the politics of it. Just thought that what I would like to hear, General Wickham, what you think the United States' role should be in Syria now at this point, sir.
Right now, you're exactly right, Bill. Because of the political situation, the administration has to have feet of concrete. They can't do anything. They'll be criticized for whatever they do. So I don't see any action coming out of the administration before the election. But there's going to be a lot of criticism from both sides. But what can the United States do? It can continue to do humanitarian aid assistance. We are probably providing clandestinely some intelligence and communications gear to the rebels, largely through Turkish contacts. But that's about all.
When we come back with General Wickham, our monthly talks with General Wickham provided by support coming from Splendido. SplendidoTucson.com is the website. When we come back with General Wickham, we have lots to talk about with these looming defense budget cuts and the drastic impact it could have on the Arizona economy as we continue with the Tuesday edition of the Buckmaster Show.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable rugs looking like new with Arizona's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at East Fort Lowell and Dodge and say hello to owner-operator Amir Karimi. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. It's KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 6 years, completing over 400 projects, including five major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, La Cañada from Ina to River, and Phase 2 of Saharita Road. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Why should you fly at a TIA? Easy. Do the math. First,
airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Our monthly conversations on military and foreign affairs with General John Wickham are made possible by Splendido, Oro Valley's all-inclusive community for adults 55 and better. For more information, visit SplendidoTucson.com. Well, General Wickham, as you know, the defense industry is so important to Arizona, and these automatic federal spending cuts known as sequestrations that start January 2nd unless Congress passes a deficit reduction bill would devastate Arizona's defense industry and have a serious economic impact over the next decade and beyond. The Arizona Republic had a fine article in the Sunday Republic saying that if these cuts happen, General Wickham, the Defense Department job loss in Arizona will be more than 35,000 jobs.
Well, I think that's an estimate. You're exactly right. The sequestration was a gun to the head effort by the Congress to force. Nobody really wants this to happen, but the Congress did this in order to force the Congress and the administration to find reductions in spending, and they were unable to do that. So the sequestration is there unless the lame duck Congress, which I don't think is going to have the courage or capability to deal with, can fix it. Now, the sequestration is going to lead to, as you point out, in the beginning in January, $500 billion cuts over the next 10 years. It isn't going to happen all at once, but it will, if it does happen, it will affect the defense spending on new programs, acquisition. Now, Raytheon could be affected. Some of the other defense contractors in Arizona, as well as other states. It may also involve some cutting of the manpower for the National Guard, as well as the active duty military. So it could be very, very severe in nature. It could also lead to some cuts in the Veterans Administration and our ability to deal with some of the serious veterans issues that we're all aware of. So we've got to encourage and be hopeful that a lame duck Congress can, in fact, do something. Now, I understand, having read, you've read this also, that there is a bipartisan group in the Senate that has been working very hard just recently to try to figure a way to fix, immediately to fix the sequester. What they could do is push the can down the street, so to speak, and not allow any cuts to occur right away. That could be done. Now, I don't think the House of Representatives has done anything right now, but there are some efforts underway, and we'll just have to see how it all materializes after the election.
Well, these cuts that may happen to the Veterans Administration come at a really bad time, or could come at a bad time, because veterans right now are dealing with a surge, the Veterans Administration dealing with a surge in the post-traumatic stress disorder cases. And as we have talked about repeatedly on this program with you, General Wickham, this historic rise in suicides.
You're exactly right, Bill. The point about claims, and I'll get to the bit about suicide, the claims, about 50% of all of the veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan are seeking disability claims of one form or another. This is the highest in our nation's history. There are many reasons for it. It's the nature of the war that they've been involved in, the huge explosions that people have been exposed to. But also, I think, the aspirations on the part of veterans to get something for the horrible experiences that they have faced. And Eric Shinseki, the new, well, not new, but the head of the VA, a good friend of mine, has admitted that he contributed to some of the backlog of the claims because he authorized at least a dozen new types of claims from Agent Orange that were used in Vietnam. Half of these claims are due to different types of cancer. So hundreds of thousands of more claims have come in because of that. So the claims are taking 1 to 2 years to get resolved, much, much too long. And they're hiring more people to fix them. Now, back to the suicide. You're right, Bill. The suicide rate is the worst in the Army and the Marine Corps history, and it's not getting any better. The leadership, military leadership, has sort of thrown up its hands and said, we're doing about everything we can to solve it. Part of the problem, Bill, exists in our society, as the society in America has grown somewhat indifferent towards mental health. And we see it around here. We saw it when we had this tragic incident where Gabby Giffords was shot, and the tragic incident up in Colorado where a number of people were killed. So there's going to be more of this unless we as a society do a better job of identifying mental health problems and trying to get them corrected earlier on. So the military is experiencing that with suicide rates. They're not identifying the people at risk, and they're not encouraging those that are at risk to go get help. In part, it's a growth, an outgrowth of the warrior ethos. If you're going to be a good fighter in the military, you got to be tough. And if you're showing signs of weakness by going to see a medic because of PTSD or whatever, that's a sign of weakness, and we don't like it. And so there's a put down to people that go and see doctors. So there's a cultural thing that has to be changed in the military. That's going to take time to fix.
How about the comparison to the Vietnam War vets? They didn't seem to experience this suicide rate, not as much as what we're seeing with Afghanistan and Iraq.
That's right. You're exactly right, Bill. And in part, it's because of the nature of the warfare, perhaps, as I mentioned earlier, explosions and that sort of a thing. It may be that also we've got to fault ourselves. We went into Iraq and Afghanistan to do the war on the cheap. We kept the Army and the Marine Corps small. The Army that went into Iraq and Afghanistan is half the size of the Army when I was Chief of Staff of the Army. Of course, that was at the end of the Cold War. It was a much bigger Army. But Rumsfeld and company under Bush decided we're going to go in with a very small Army and we're going to rely on the National Guard. And as a result of that, Bill, we're rotating these young men and women into the war zones 5, 6, sometimes 7 times, again and again and again. And that, I think, has contributed to a sense of hopelessness and family problems that have led to high suicide rates.
That's a very good point, because even in the Vietnam War era, a tour in country would have been 3 would have been a lot of tours, wouldn't it?
Oh, exactly right. 3 would have been a lot. I had 2 tours in Vietnam, and I saw some of that. Some people went back because they've got extra pay, and they got extra medals for that, or they had family problems at home. But nothing like what we've seen in Iraq and Afghanistan, when some people are going back for 5 or 6 times.
General John Wickham, always an honor to talk with you. Have you been out on your ride from Splendido, your bicycle ride?
No, not yet today, Bill. Maybe this afternoon. I had some other things to go to this morning, but I've always enjoyed sharing some thoughts with you. Have a wonderful program of good news for the residents of Arizona.
Thank you very much, General Wickham. Thanks for being with us.
God bless.
General John Wickham, Splendido's most famous resident, Oro Valley's all-inclusive community for adults 55 and better, sponsors our talks, and we're glad they do with General John Wickham. The Buckmaster Show also is grateful for the support from Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. Just 3.5 hours east of Tucson to historic Silver City, Silver is known for its vibrant arts community. What a great downtown they have there. They host a variety of galleries. There's fine dining, quaint homes to visit, and plenty of great accommodations in the Silver City area, including the Pinos Altos Cabins and Spirit Canyon Lodge and Lake Roberts Motel. To visit and find out more about Silver City and Grant County, go to southwestnewmexico.org. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show provided by Culligan. Folks, it just simply tastes better. We love the Culligan water, and that's what we serve to all of our guests on the Buckmaster Show. Coming up tomorrow, the debate on Proposition 204, the sales tax and education measure. 4 o'clock this afternoon, he is the Dean of Local Talk, John C. Scott, from 4 to 5. Then tomorrow morning here on KVOI, the Local Talk continues from 6 to 8. It's Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe. I am Bill Buckmaster, host of the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Have a great afternoon.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.